more faith, more and more trust in you, that you've got their best interest at heart, that you know just a little bit more than they do because of experience, if nothing else, because you might know a little bit more about God's word, about God's teaching on how to do life, how to do relationships, how to do school, how to do your job, how to do, you know, your thought life, how to do your dating life, how to do family life. I mean, you might know a little bit more about that. And since that's true, because you probably do know a little bit more, you just want them to trust you. And so there are things that happen to build trust. And so God wants to use these things that typically show up in people's stories. If I were to ask any of you as a believer to tell us your faith story, tell us a little bit about your journey, and if you'll pay attention as people do that from time to time as I bring them up on stage, you'll hear it, several, if not all of these in their stories, just depending on how much time they have to tell the story. And these five things are this. These are the things that God uses to grow our faith. The first one was practical teaching, and we talked about that last week, how there are times and individuals, seasons of your life, it seemed like it was at just the right time when all of a sudden God's word was taught to you, shown to you. Maybe you had always been in church and all of a sudden there was this teacher. Maybe somebody, you know, you'd never been in church and somebody invited you to this Bible study. Maybe just at work, a couple of the guys or a couple of the gals, you know, said, you know, hey, at lunchtime, we meet in a break room and we just kind of choke down our sandwiches or our oodles or noodles or whatever it is that y'all eat at lunch. And we're just going to kind of talk about this Bible verse that we've been, you know, looking at, whatever it might be. All of a sudden, there was a season in your life where God's word came alive for you. It was just practical biblical teaching. That is something that's always key in somebody's spiritual growth journey. And then the next one is providential relationships. We're going to talk about this today. That's the one we're going to key in on. The next Sunday is going to be these private disciplines, things that you are responsible for doing on your own. And when you do these things, whether it's reading the Bible on a regular basis or whether it's having some prayer time, just you and God, not corporate, just you and God. What's cool about you and God talking, just you and God, is you can't screw it up. And there's a time in each of your lives as believers where you realize that. Where I realized that, oh, you know, if I get this wording wrong, nobody's going to die and go to hell. I'm just going to, you know, it just, you know, God hears and knows and understands my heart. So you can't mess it up. Anyway, reading the Bible, praying, whether it's a habit of giving or whatever it may be, these private disciplines are things that also help us to grow. Number four that we'll talk about in 2 weeks are these personal ministries. When an individual decides that he or she is going to get involved in actually ministering to someone else, and it can be any kind of way, whether it's, you know, helping the homeless or the helpless, or whether it's getting involved on a Sunday morning in one of our ministry teams. I mean, I'm not minimizing it, but listen, it don't take that much to kind of smile at somebody and hand them a bulletin, does it? It's yet when something as small as that isn't done, don't you notice it? And so it's cool when we decide that we're going to get involved in ministry. And when people tell their faith stories, they will tell you that, man, it's just when I started serving other people, when I started doing something besides just me, it's kind of like getting the attention off of me and onto someone else. And that doesn't mean that we've got our act together. It doesn't mean that everything's going hunky-dory in our lives. It doesn't have to necessarily even mean that me and God are like this. It's just, I am going to be intentional about serving others. I'm going to do some personal me. I'm going to do some ministry, and it may be one-on-one, or it could even be corporately, like getting involved in a team or teaching on a team or whatever it may be. They'll tell their stories, and it's like, when I started doing this, just like a whole new world opened up to me, and my ability to trust God, my confidence level in God, they would say, just rose because he blew my faith up. He expanded it. And this is what God wants. The fifth thing that we'll talk about, the last thing that we'll talk about, and the last thing that you will usually hear in people's stories are these pivotal circumstances. And we just came through a series a little while back. Must not have been all that good. I can't even remember the title of the series. Maybe we can edit this later. I don't know. But we just came through a series where circumstances happen. We talked about our ability to trust God in the middle of whatever may be happening as adversity comes our way. What do we do with it? How do we respond to it? Well, pivotal circumstances could be adversity. It could even be a great thing. Like, you know, I finally got that promotion, or finally got into that school I was trying to get into, or she finally said yes and we started going out, or whatever it might have been. When something pivotal happens, a circumstance, a moment happens, and things could go either way. I could either start to place more of my faith in God, more of my trust in God, or often what happens when things really go good for us is it's a chance to, I'm doing pretty good, and so we pivot towards leaning on our own selves, our own abilities, our own understanding, and not on God. So anyway, all those are moments where we have the opportunity to increase our trust level, to increase our faith in God. Now, these are five things that God uses to increase our faith. And God wants to increase our faith because that just shows him, it demonstrates to him that we really do trust you. And faith or trust is a key to any strong relationship, isn't it? I mean, just take a husband and wife, for example. You know, that level of trust. You know, she says she's going to be home at 6:30, and here it is 7 o'clock, and I'll bet, and I wonder, and what, you know, does that relationship have a really strong relationship where there's not a whole lot of trust? Or it's like, well, she says she's going to be home at 6:30. I mean, I know it's 7 o'clock, but my mind ain't going to go to 100 different places. I'm trusting that, you know, something must have just happened or something just came up. Did you see the difference? There's trust in one relationship. There's a lot of distrust in the other. And the strong relationships have a high level of trust in them. And it's not just, you know, marriage. We'll stick with families for a second. You know, mom or dad said that they were gonna, and they didn't. Or they didn't yet. And this, when you got little kids, if you didn't, it's like you ain't never gonna, right? It ain't happened yet, so it's never gonna. And so they just fall apart. Well, I mean, even as adults, don't we fall apart sometimes when things don't happen exactly like we thought that they would? Instead, God, you didn't act or perform or do or grant whatever like I asked. You know, I was in the right position and didn't now lay me down to sleep, or I might have even got down on my face, which is a great place to pray, by the way. Or I did all the, you know, I jumped through all these hoops and I said all the right phrases that I've heard people say, and you didn't come through, so you must not be gonna. I'm not sure I can trust you because you didn't act the way I thought you should act. Is that a high level of trust? No, it's not. Imagine, maybe you're not here, and I'm not dissing anybody because everybody's at a different place in the faith journey. We're all, I believe, you don't have to agree with this, but I believe that we're all on a journey in our relationship with God. Some of us have jumped off, you know, that ramp or that track, and some of us, you know, you might be one of the individuals that decided, you know, hey, I jumped off 5 years ago, but I'm jumping back on now. But we're all in this journey, and as a result, we're all in different places. That's a great thing. We're just all at different places. We're all at different levels, and that's going to come into play a little bit later in the message. I don't know where I was going with all that now, but it was going to be pretty cool. But since we're all in different places, there are opportunities for us to reach back to those who are behind us and kind of give them a hand up. There are opportunities for us to, you know, look at somebody that's ahead of us, if you will, and maybe even ask, you know, hey, can you hold my hand? Can I hold your hand? Can I just kind of hang on to your shirt tail a little bit? You know, just can I spend a little bit of time with you? Hey, do you mind? Will you pray for me? I mean, whatever it may be, we're all in different places. And so there's opportunities for us to get involved in what we're going to come back to, which are these providential relationships. So God wants to use all five of these things, and specifically today, relationships to help grow our faith. So let me just ask you a question. I was going to do something really cool with this, but it would get really confusing. So let me ask you a question. And I got this written down so I don't screw it up. Think of a name, an individual, a face, but think of the name of someone that you feel like that God used in your life to make your relationship or your faith in God greater. Somebody in your life, whether it could be 2 years ago, 2 days ago, 2 decades ago, that God used in your life to increase your faith, that just kind of boosted your whole faith journey, you know, up a couple notches. You with me? All right, so be thinking about that in just a second. And I'm going to ask the question a different way, because there may be some individuals here that say, well, I'm not on that faith journey at all. I'm not sure, you know, about God. I'm not sure about the Bible. I'm still new to all of this, and I'm still kind of digesting it. Yeah, I'm here because so-and-so's here. They invited me, and they promised me lunch or whatever it may be. So I'll ask the question just a little bit different way so that you don't have to agree totally with the whole God aspect. And that is this. Think of someone who in your life has, I would say, God possibly used, but who is there been in your life that's caused you to at least have interest in faith? Now, I'm not there yet. You haven't committed yet. You ain't stepped across the line. You haven't, you know, surrendered. You ain't got baptized, you know, whatever. But who in your life has at least caused you, nudged you towards the possibility of having some faith in your life? Has everybody got a name in mind? Raise your hand if you got a name in mind. I just need to know that we've kind of pictured somebody. Okay. Hang on to that, because it's going to be it's going to have an impact as we go throughout the message. I was going to get you all to just everybody text me all at one time a bunch of names. That'd have been crazy. And then the other problem with that is that all of you would have had my phone number in your phone, which is fine. It's printed on the bulletin, by the way. But this afternoon when I'm trying to sleep in my recliner, I'm going to get about 1,500 texts from people, either with a stupid joke of the day or, I don't know, just your latest wanderings. And then all those things are great, okay? But I'm trying to take a nap on Sunday afternoon. So if you ain't bleeding or dying or ready to, you know, step into a relationship with Jesus, just kind of wait till Monday. Is that all right? All right. Or one of the elders, better yet, I will print their names and their numbers on the bulletin. Woohoo! Okay, so there's been people in our lives that have made a difference. That, I mean, I can say that I am who I am. There's been a number of people in my life, but several, and I'll talk to you about them in just a little bit, who have had a significant impact on my faith journey. A lot of people have made an impact on my life and part of who I am and my confidence level and all that other kind of good stuff. But specifically, in my ability to trust God, they just took me up a notch that I probably would not have ever gone up had they not come into my life. That's kind of crazy to say, but I believe that, you know, with all my heart. Okay, because I choose, or you choose, to lean into those relationships when they come our way, makes all the difference in the world. One of the individuals in my life, a lady, she's still around. I've told you about her before. Her name is Miss Ruby. Miss Ruby is, I hope she don't listen to this. I don't know. She's about 70 years old now. Okay. I don't know. Women are always sensitive about their age. I'm like, own it. I tell my wife, own it, baby. You are. But she came along in my life when I was about 21 years old. I was very impressionable. I was a believer. I wasn't living like a believer. I've told y'all that story sometime. And you may say, well, you know, hey, you've been in that position before. But yeah, I was going to church, so I was intentional about being in an environment that I could be impacted and for God. And she was the chick that really opened up the scriptures for me, you know, gave us some practical teaching and just kind of did it in such a way that the Bible came alive for us, for me, but for a whole bunch of young married people at the time. And it was incredible. But she also spoke into our lives. She spoke with, you know, authority. She prayed into our lives like nobody had ever done, in my life at least. And it boosted me. It took me up notches in my spiritual journey. I would not be who I am today. I can say that with all the confidence in the world. I would probably not be your pastor today. Centerpoint may not even exist if it weren't for Miss Ruby. Man, that's crazy to think about, isn't it? I mean, you'd all be somewhere else, but you wouldn't be here, all because of one individual that I believe that God brought into my life. I believe it. That's why we call it providential, that God had his hand. And I don't even know where she came from. I mean, she'd always lived in Lexington, but I just feel like God brought her into our church, and I don't know why, because she wasn't like anybody in our church. We were very, you know, traditional Southern Baptist Church, and she had some some bents or some leanings that weren't normal for our church, but it just kind of, you know, took us up a couple notches. Anyway, I believe that God brought her specifically into the church, and for no other reason, it was for me, to get me where I needed to be. She made a significant impact on my life. I'll give you another one, because anybody want to tell your story? Good, because I wasn't going to bring you up anyway. But you need to tell your story to somebody. Another one is a dude named, this is probably a little more recently, like within the last 10 years, a dude named Bruce Snell. Some of you know a guy named Bruce Snell. I was at a low point in my life, probably one of the lowest points. Well, it was the lowest point of my life about 7 years ago. There were a number of, it was like the perfect storm, you know, that came together. Anybody know about perfect storms in life, relationships, finances, your health? I mean, so it's just like everything was just coming together bad that could happen. And I was ready to give up, to bail. I wasn't ready to die, just although that had some pleasing, you know, pieces. Hey, Jesus, can I just go be with you? I just want to go sit in God's lap. That would just be a whole lot better than what the heck I was dealing with at the time. But at that moment in my life, I was invited into an environment. I was invited into a prayer environment multiple times before I finally decided to go. This cat named Bruce was in there, and he began to speak into our lives and pray into our lives and quite honestly, help teach me a little bit more about praying at a time in my life where I did not want to pray. Anybody ever been where you just don't want to pray? And yet you can't pray. You know, it's just, I do not want to pray. And it's not because you didn't love God, you didn't trust. It's just like, I just, you know, somebody asked you to pray, and it's like, I'm done. I just, you know, I'm still love God, still love Jesus, I still want to go to heaven, I still trust in what Jesus, but I just do not feel like, anyway, that's where I was. And everything just, you know, went to the next level for me. Not as I learned how to pray, but as I began praying, because I was influenced by what I believed to be a providential relationship. You might would say, two cups of coffee, three cups of coffee in 5 hours really dries you out. You know what I'm saying? Some people would say, you know, I don't know. He and I or she and I, we just kind of, you know, our lives just kind of bumped into each other. You know, it's just like, I don't know what happened. It was a weird circumstance. And it was just like we came crashing into each other's lives. And things have never been the same ever since. And we're still, you know, really close or whatever. Or you may even say, man, I swear it's like, you know, maybe he or she was an angel. I don't even know. But they came into my life and they spoke into my life. When I say that, maybe I hope that don't sound churchy, but you know, they spoke truth to me. Has anybody ever spoke truth to you, especially at a time when you didn't want to hear truth? Might have been a providential relationship, but I felt like they ministered to me, and that sounds kind of spiritual and churchy. Also, it is spiritual, but they said some things to me that everybody else has said. My mom said, my daddy said, my grandma said, my aunt said, you know, my brother, you know, he'd been bugging me, but whatever it might have been in your life. But all of a sudden, this dude or this chick said it to me, and it was like the same words, but it's like it happened. It clicked. A light bulb came on for me at that time. And you may even would say, I guess that was just providential. I guess God just orchestrated that. And maybe they were there for a couple of days, couple months, a season, maybe a year, and just like boom, they might as well just fell off face of the earth. I don't know what happened to them. God sucked them back up to heaven or whatever happened. They're not there anymore. But at that moment, during that season of my life, I needed exactly what that guy or that gal or maybe even that group brought into my life. And as a result of that seemingly God orchestrated moment or season, my faith increased. I trust God more. And it's not so much to hear me. It's not so much I can believe God for more. Oh, now I've prayed for this much and I can pray for that much. There's something magical about all that. It's I might be able to believe God for more. I mean, that may be a part of it, but it's like, it's now, And maybe this is kind of how your prayers have changed. Quite honestly, this is kind of how my prayers have changed. This is, God, I might ask for something big because I've seen you do some big stuff, bigger stuff than I've ever seen you do before. But here's the key. If and when you can pray for some big stuff and yet at the same time say, God, not my will, but your will be done. This is what I see probably ought to happen, is what I'd see like to happen, is what makes just logical sense all the way around, God. So don't you get it? God, aren't you logical? Don't you want this to happen? But it's saying, in spite of all that, God, if you want something different, then that is what I want. And I will be okay with it. And I'm going to trust that I'm going to be better because you don't do that thing. My wife read something to me this week in some devotional that she had read. Reminded me of something that Job had said, though you slay me, I'll still trust in you. Are you there? I don't know if I'm there yet. So we've all got some growing to do. But as we are exposed to those providential relationships, people in your life have spoken to your life. Maybe they didn't even speak. Maybe it's just, you know, you observe them from a distance. We got married young. We got married at 19. I don't necessarily recommend that, although it's worked out pretty good for us. A lot of grace from God and a lot of grace from her, because I'm just a jackleg sometimes. What we needed at 19, what we needed was to be able to see some relationships that had sustained the test of time, that had endured. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even at 33 years, I need to see relationships of 50 years and of 60. I ran into this old guy Friday. He'd been married for 55 years. 55 years. And so I sat down. I'm bidding jobs. I'm looking at his tree and give him a price on the tree. He didn't want to do it. And he was sitting down. So I pulled up a chair and we just kind of sat down. I'm thinking, you know, there was a time when I didn't think I could learn anything from somebody older than me. A couple years ago, I figured out different. No, I was just kidding. It's a lot longer than that. But I realized that, man, there's some wisdom here. If this cat's made it for 55 years, I want to, what's your secret? And one of the things he told me, you're ready for this? Guys, you're paying attention? He said, I learned to say yes, ma'am, a long time ago. I'm like, okay, I got, you know, key to a long-lasting relationship. He also said a lot of grace from God because he was a believer as well. We need people ahead of us that are modeling the way. And so maybe you would even say your providential relationship, a relationship, a couple or whatever. And it could even be your folks. I guess that's providence as well. But, you know, outside of your family, if you can identify someone or a couple or whatever, that because of their life, your ability to trust God, your confidence level in God, our faith in God has increased. And isn't that what God wants? When we say that our goal here at Centerpoint is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus, what we hope grows, what we want to grow in your life is your faith with Jesus. Because listen, when your faith or your trust level grows in any relationship, and especially with your relationship with God, you listening? When your faith level grows, your trust level grows in your relationship with God, your intimacy with God increases. Think about it. I mean, the more and more Beth and I can trust each other and our confidence is in each other, and you know, we the more we can jihad and we're connecting, but our intimacy grows as well. I mean, if there's a distrust or a doubt or a wondering or, you know, whatever, I mean, is there, you know, our connectedness begins to dissolve. It begins to erode. Okay. So what God wants from us is big faith. God wants to blow up our faith. And he's using things in life to do that. So, on the screen. Yeah, God uses these human relationships to impact our faith. And so this is the main point of our message today, is that he's using these human relationships. He's doing his spiritual thing, but he's doing that through people, through human relationships, in order to grow and impact our faith. Now, let me just say this, that this is kind of help us grab a hold of this whole concept. The opposite is true as well. Has there been anybody in your life, and you can think of a name, don't say it out loud because it may be in the room with you, is there anybody in your life who you would say, as a result of you spending time with this individual, you feel like your faith was eroded. You feel like your faith was I had a good connection with God, but you know, I started hanging out with him or her or them, and it feels like they're just kind of starting to knock the legs out from underneath my faith. They're asking questions and saying stuff and causing a lot of doubt and fear and anxiety. It just feels like they're undermining my faith, taking me down a couple notches. You know what I'm saying? Are there individuals in your life like that? Of course there are. There are for all of us. And it's not just for teenagers, okay? It's for you grown adults as well. The people impact our life. And so God knows this, and he wants to use this principle to grow our faith. Again, you all know your biggest regret in life, I'm willing to bet, was connected to a relationship. A relationship that you probably wish that you had, an invitation was given and you wish you had said no to. You with me? A phone call that you took, you wish you had never answered. A text you wish you had never returned. Maybe a business opportunity you wish you had never jumped into. But our biggest regrets are almost always, you can get into trouble and have regrets on your own, right? But usually they're connected to somebody. I know that mine are. I can name you individuals, we're not going to do that. We're not going to go there. But since that's true, that we're impacted by people we hang out with, by people we want to leverage that principle for our spiritual growth. Does that make sense? So people in your life either undermine or erode your faith, or people in your life kind of grow that. They kind of take you up a notch. They inspire you towards a greater level of trust, if nothing else. So these are just the truths, that these things happen. So again, one of the takeaways is relationships intersect our faith. They have the opportunity, the potential to intersect our faith for good or for bad. And we want to choose to leverage that principle for our good, for our spiritual growth, to increase our confidence level in him. Now, can we all just go out and create a providential relationship? I mean, it's providential. That means it's God ordained. I mean, you're not strong arming God. You're not. By the way, this might be a revelation for some people here today. You're not God. Okay? The universe does not revolve around you. Yours may, but the universe does not revolve around you. No, we can't create providential relationships. I mean, some of you have tried. You know, baby, I feel like you are, I mean, whatever line you use. What line did you use? You know, some of you had to have used a really good line, because I'm like, that dude and that chick, You know, that was, all right. So I don't know what worked for you. Y'all saying that about me and her, right? Yeah, I know. 33 years. We can't create them. So what can we do? If this is a principle that God wants to use human relationships to impact our faith with him, I mean, so how can I leverage these relationships, you know, for the sake of building my faith? How can I use that to increase my faith? And I think the answer is this. We can choose to place ourselves in environments. We can choose to get into environments, situations where that principle is being leveraged. For instance, outside of this environment, outside of a Sunday morning, you're sitting in rows kind of environment, we try to encourage people to get involved in small groups. when school starts back, we're going to be starting a whole new series of small groups. New opportunities, new venues, whatever, and we're going to be pushing all of you to get involved in a small group if you're not already involved in one, or to jump into a different one, a new one, whatever works for you. Because in those environments, it may be that it might not have anything to do with the fact that y'all opened up the Bible. And it sounds unspiritual. I'm just saying, it may be what happens in a small group, if you've never gotten a small group or you just need to try a new small group, is that some of the connections that are made there might just be the couple that's encouraging you to stick with it, to stay in this. And I know he and I know she, you know, she's this and she's that and he never and he always. But, you know, but if they are doing it, we can do it. You know, just kind of encourage you in that. Maybe it may be that the guy or the gal sitting on the couch next to you or the recliner next to you is the individual that when y'all do a little bit of prayer time, they're praying for every, they go around and it's like, oh my gosh, is this chick going to be, this is my wife, is this chick going to pray for everybody for 10 minutes? I mean, we only got, I got to get home, you know, The Voice or whatever it is that you watch on TV. I don't know. America's Got Talent. You know, it's coming on and I got it. That's why everybody needs a DVR. You can watch anything you want to, anytime you want to. Instead of being focused, it might just be that that chick or that guy's been, they prayed for you. And it's like, man, if what they prayed just kind of boosted me up. It felt like I went up a couple notches with God and I didn't even do anything. But as a result, I can now, you know, trust God more. God must really be faithful in his or her life to be, you know, for them to be praying this in my life. And it just, you know, it kind of takes you up. All I'm saying is we can choose to be intentional about placing ourselves in environments where we can be, where we could potentially be involved in a providential relationship, where God wants to boost our faith. And as God boosts our faith, our confidence level in Him, our intimacy with God increases and grows. And isn't that what God wants? God wants your heart. He wants you. He created you to love you, to know you, and for y'all to have an intimate relationship, a perfect heavenly Father. And that might be hard for some of you to fathom. But I'm talking about perfect love, unconditional love. You know, did everything for you that needed to be done so that y'all could have a relationship. So over, beyond, through, whatever, all of your flaws. And I'm not just talking about your warts and, you know, everything else. I'm talking about your junk of life, your disobedience in life, your garbage in life, your sin in your life, and sees you and loves you anyway. That guy, your heavenly Father, wants to have an intimate relationship with you. And so in order to do that, He's got to boost your faith. And He uses things and He uses people in your life to do just that. You're thinking of people already. And maybe that individual has grown to like, oh man, yeah, I can, I'm thinking about five individuals now that God used in my life. Some of them still in my life. Some of them not in my life anymore. But I am so grateful, you would say, that God brought that person into my life at just the right time. So we want to use this principle for our benefit, for our faith benefit, if nothing else. So to reinforce, you know, what our experience is already telling us. I mean, all this is just to reiterate that God is you know, that relationships impact us for positive or for good. God, knowing that, because I guess that's the principle that He created, wants to leverage that for us. To kind of reinforce that, I want to share two scriptures with you. Two verses, not a long passage. And you may even already have these memorized. You may be able to memorize these before you walk out of here today. Is that pretty cool? You got the opportunity to do that. Two verses. One is from the Old Testament. One's from the New Testament. One from the Old Testament is this. This is Proverbs 13:20. Wisest man that walked the face of the earth outside of Jesus, his name was Solomon. Everybody say Solomon. He's supposed to take a lot longer. Say it like that chick from Barnwell back there, Solomon. She says everything real slow, draws stuff out. It gives me more time to drink my water. Say it, Amy. It's like five syllables out of a two-syllable word. Anyway, so this is great. Proverbs 13:20. This is cool, and you may not have read this before, but you may have read this. Proverbs 13:20 says this: walk with the wise and become wise. It was as much of a command as it was a suggestion. It was just, this is a truth, this is a principle, that if you walk with the wise, you will become wise. This kind of makes sense, right? I mean, you kind of already know this, but he's just reiterating this. Again, the wisest man. So for a companion of fools suffers harm. Maybe you need to write these on your, you know, on some 3x5 card and put them on the refrigerator. Put them on your kids' bathroom mirror, you know, because some of your kids hanging out with some fools, they might not be idiots. You're thinking in your mind and in your heart they're idiots, but, you know, they're just foolish, okay? And so you want to try to reiterate this principle to them. That hang out with wise people and you'll become wise. You hang out with these, with them and with them. And my dad tried to tell me this and I didn't always listen. But you hang out with them and you're going to suffer harm. You're going to fall into the same junk that they're falling into. Again, you can tell me this, that the thing that you hate the most about your past, the thing that you regret the most was probably connected to a fool, right? And y'all may be foolish together, but it was connected to someone who wasn't acting, living, behaving in a wise way, right? If they were, you would have been wise. The people that you choose to surround yourself with have the potential to impact you spiritually. The people you choose. So there's a lot of people, you don't get to pick everybody you work with, do you? I mean, unless you own the company, you don't get to choose everybody that you work with. So you work with people, you know, hang out with people. You don't even always get to choose people you go to church with, right? Because there's a lot of people around you. It's like, they're here. But the people that you hang out with, the people that you choose to do extracurricular activities with, people that you maybe even choose to go to small group with, the people that you choose maybe to go on vacation with, whatever it is, you get to choose who they, and they do have an impact on you spiritually. Because there's a spiritual element to all relationships, right? I mean, they impact us physically, but they also, and mentally and emotionally. You might say, that's him or that's her. My moments are because of my kids, okay? I had three of them, and so I would sit in the corner and just kind of go like that sometimes, because actually I wouldn't. I would just punch the walls and stuff to keep from punching them. But people, relationships have an impact on you in every way, and especially spiritually. What you may or may not acknowledge is that at the core of who you are as an individual is a spirit. I mean, you can't see it, touch it, feel it, but it is who you are. If we stripped away all the skin and bones, there'd still be you. That's the real you. That's the inside you. That's also the part of you that goes to be with God or goes to spend an eternity separated from God. Are you with me? The inside you, the real you. That's the spirit part of you. And since that's the core of who you are, obviously there's a spiritual element to relationships and to life. Some of you, God uses these human relationships in our life. Where's the scripture I wanted to give you? This is in 1 Corinthians. So this is in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians, Paul's talking to us, and he says this. He says, do not be misled. Some translations may say, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. Some translations say, bad company corrupts good morals. You may have good ethics, good values, good morals, good character, be working on that. But if we hang out with some bad individuals, and even worse, you know, a group of bad individuals, it's gonna corrupt. You can be perfectly clean, just stepped out of shower, you know, dried off, you know, whatever, you can put on a fresh set of clothes. But if you go out and just kind of pass through the hog pen, we used to have a hog pen. We'd go out there and feed them right before we go to church on Sunday, and that's all we had to do, just get close to it. We were corrupted. You'd have to go back and take another shower because just the funk, the aroma of them hogs, something so stinky can taste so good. Maybe that's why we say, that is so stinking good. Bacon, pork, ham, barbecue, fat back. Anybody love fat back? Yeah, that explains a lot right there. So, you know, it doesn't take much to corrupt something that's clean. And we know this. And again, you probably try to drill these scriptures into your kids' lives, into your teenagers' lives. You know, God knows what we already know and what we've experienced is telling us is that human relationships can have a negative spiritual impact. Not just a negative all around, but a negative spiritual impact, the core of who you are. The Bible's saying it's being eroded, being corrupted, being tainted, being stinkified, whatever, because of who you choose to hang out with. So if God uses these human relationships to impact our faith in Him, then what is our part? If this is true, that He uses this in our lives, then what is our part? What's the takeaway with all that? Because we all agree that there have been people that have impacted our lives. There are people that have impacted our lives positively. And man, as a result of him or her, I'll take those. Every time I tell my story, I'm going to name him or her because they were an incredible part of me becoming who I am and me being boosted up a couple of layers. Some people focus too much on the corrupt character side of their stories and talk about all the individuals and name all the individuals like they need some credit for corrupting them. But there's that side of it too. There are the individuals that have negatively impacted us. Since that's true, and since names of individuals, names of people we've had relationships with, are a part of our faith journey, positively or negatively, how do we work with that? Where do we go with that? So, okay, that's cool. That's just great information. They've just been half the message talking about something I really already know. If that's true, what are you doing with that? And I believe the answer is this, that we can choose to leverage that principle for our spiritual growth. And again, you can't just go out and look for providence relationship. Hey, I want you. You are going to positively impact my life, you know, in my relationship with God. Maybe it can work that way, but these providential things, these things that just kind of seem like out of nowhere. Man, I don't even know where that came from, but he or she came into my life. I mean, those are God moments. He creates those. So we can't create those, but we can place ourselves in environments where that principle is being leveraged. Again, we can choose to be involved in a small group. We can choose to be involved in that. You know, we were invited to a Bible study, and, you know, if it's at lunchtime, well, you're going to take your 30 minutes or your hour anyway. Might as well hang out with some guys or some gals that are like-minded who at least want to open up the scriptures, and that you might just meet the next, well, you might just meet the next Mrs. Wright or Mr. Wright. I mean, who knows? But beyond that, more importantly, is spiritually, they may take you to the next level. And you didn't create that, but you started, you got in on a principle that God is already using, that God is already working in your life. The other side of that whole thing is not just what an individual can do for me, can do in my life, is what can I possibly do to be that individual in somebody else's life? Chew on that for a second. Is it possible that there's someone out there, wherever, or someone in here, someone at work, somewhere where I hang out, somebody you play golf with, or somebody you go hunting with, or somebody, you know, you go to racetrack with? All I'm thinking about is guy stuff because I don't hang out with girls, right? I shouldn't. I hang out with one, and she does whatever I want to do. You know, so whatever it is you chicks do together, I mean, is there somebody that you hang out with that God may want you to be intentional? Now, here's the cool thing. The really cool thing is you may already be that individual in your life and you don't even know it. I mean, often early on in our faith journey, in the first couple of years of our getting serious about a relationship with God, you know, we're jacked up about God and we're jacked up about, you know, him and all that he's, you know, blessed us with, and he's washed our sins away, and he's made me a new creation, and he's given me a purpose, and I've got the assurance that I can't screw this up. I'm going to go to heaven when I die, no matter what. And so there's freedom here, and it's really all up to him, and it's not about me, and I'm just supposed to be obedient and leave the results up to him. Are you with me? Am I going too fast? Early on in your faith journey, you're learning all those things, and it's just cool, and it's alive, and you are probably having an impact on a seasoned believer. Because what is possible, what often happens is a seasoned believer, I mean, somebody's been a believer, they might say for decades, and, you know, but they've just kind of grown cold, and they see, you know, God breathing life into you, and you can wind up just impacting them, even if it's from a distance. It's like, man, I remember, I want that fire back. And let me tell you something. You want the fire back in your relationship with God? You do the things that you did when you first initiated a relationship with God. Can I tell you something else? You want the fire back in your relationship with your husband or with your wife? Do you? Okay, a couple of us do. The rest of you either there, or you're still kind of debating all this. So you do the things you used to do when you were initiating that relationship. I mean, what happened? Okay, so guys, can I just tell us what guys do? Guys, can I tell you what y'all do? So here's what happens. We court her at some point early on because we want her. We are wooing her. We are winning her over. And once we do, you know, we win, and she says yes, and she says I do. You know what we tend to do? You know, we tend to stop wooing her. We tend to stop courting her. Why do we do that? I mean, it's kind of like, well, you know, I hunted it, I shot it, I bagged it, took it home, cut it, said I put a head on the wall, and it's done. You know, it's over, so I don't have to do anything else. It's over, and it's not true. And if you treat that relationship like that, it'll be over. And so what's awesome is in human relationships and also in our relationship with God, if we've lost something, if something's kind of waned, and it happens, on this roller coaster, it's hard to stay on top of the mountain all the time. Do the things you used to do. Get back into reading God's word. Get back to talking to him. You remember, oh man, I used to fall on my face and I just, you know, you might would say these kind of things that I used to just, all the stuff I did, the wrong things I ever said or thought or done, you know, throughout the day, you know, I'm just kind of pouring all those things out to God. When was the last time we just really confessed all the crap that we've been doing or thinking, you know, to God? When was the last time we were just, you know, started going through his word and kind of seeing how it, you know, speaks into our lives, what it's saying to us? You know, do the things you used to do. And so what I'm saying is you may be impacting somebody's life because you're doing things and they're realizing, oh man, I need to go back doing that again. But beyond that, greater than that, is people have spoken into your life in the past and boosted your faith. Who is it that you need to speak into their life? Who is it that God may be leading you to be a providential relationship in your life? Now, again, there's going to be those moments when you bump into somebody, and it could be physically you bumped into them, or it could be that, you know, you bumped into their car, you know, and the thing could go one of two ways. You know, it could just really blow up and both of you get out there and you shout and match or whatever else, and the cops got to come break y'all up. Or it could be that you, listen, I've caused most of my wrecks, most of my accidents. Yes, plural, I've been in many accidents. I've caused most of them because of my stupid driving. Not paying attention. One time I was making this U-turn. I mean, I looked both ways. Nobody was coming. I looked in my mirror. Nobody was coming. And I just made a U-turn in a four-lane road. And I got T-boned. Well, was she there? Did she come out of the middle of nowhere? I mean, she was already there. I just didn't see her. And so, anyway, here's what I'm saying with all that. Maybe, really, it was going somewhere. It may be a real bump in with somebody, and how you handle that thing can have all the difference in the world. And so here's what I did in that moment anyway. I was like, yeah, dude, I don't know. It seems like she came out of nowhere. Obviously, she was there. It was my bad. And I'm talking to my insurance company on the phone, telling my insurance company, you know, they call up, they want my side of the story, and I'm telling them, oh, yeah, I don't know. I was making a U-turn. I messed up. I was in wrong. And they were trying to get me like, oh, no. They were trying to get me to change my story or not tell the truth or not be honest about whatever it is. I'm like, no, man, it was my fault. She was there. I turned in front of her. What else can I say, you know? So it could be those kinds of moments. How you respond, how you act in those may have a huge impact, especially if they find out you're a believer and yet you're going to, you know, claim all this stuff and try to get out of this and try to get out of that. Man, there's too much of trying to get out of stuff anymore. You operate with some integrity. You have good character, and you may have a greater impact on somebody than you can ever even imagine. People are going to be watching you then, especially if you claim to be a believer. So God may be nudging you to speak into somebody's life. There's somebody around you that's hurting. There's somebody around you that's, you know, relationally, they're having some struggles. There's some people around you that are having some financial struggles or, you know, lost their job, facing bankruptcy, you know, whatever. I don't know. There's people around you, and you know where they are because you once were there perhaps, and you would love to get to speak into their life. And yet it's, the reason you don't is it's just awkward, isn't it? It's like, it ain't none of my business. And so we just kind of pass it off. I bet the people that spoke into your life that made that great impact on you, that boosted your faith level, your trust level in God, that took you up a couple notches, you know, dared an awkward moment. That they took a chance. They took a risk. Can I tell you something? We're about done, and I'm going to pray for us because we need God's guidance in a lot of this to know where to go from here. When I was a teenager and in my rebellious years, looking at the time, you know, I didn't want nobody saying nothing to me because I knew everything, right? And then you get a couple years older and you realize, oh, I didn't know everything. But we know everything when we're 16, 17, 18 years old. I wish that some men in my life had had the spiritual fortitude to have spoken into my life and said, David, you know, we've got a relationship. Now, you know, and you know I love you. You know I care about you and your family. But can I tell you something about the way you're living? And ain't nobody. If they did it, I didn't pay any attention and I don't remember it. And it's quite possible that some of my greatest regrets wouldn't have happened had somebody had the guts to come up and dare an awkward moment and risk maybe even the relationship, because David might get pissed off at me and never speak to me again. If it changed my life, if it kept me from doing, if they had impacted me positively, I mean, there'd be a day when I'd go back and I'd thank them, right? Who is it in your life that you may even say, God's been nudging me and I've just been brushing it off because it's weird, you know? I mean, I don't want to go up to him or go up to them and say, you know, hey, it ain't none of my business, but maybe that's exactly what God's leading you to do. And imagine you somebody telling their story, whether it's this stage or another church or, you know, whatever. Somebody telling their story and you being one of the names that they name, because at that critical moment in their life, you dared, you took a chance, you risked the relationship if that's what it took, because their life, maybe even their spiritual life, maybe even their eternity hung in the balance, and you saw it and you knew it and you recognized it because you've been there. And you said, it's awkward, this is weird. And you went up to them anyway and said, listen, you know, I don't know, you offered, you know, to take them out. Can we go get some coffee? Can we go get whatever? And so you sat knee to knee with them, or you sat across the table and you said, listen, you know, dude or honey or sweetie or whatever you did, I know it ain't none of my business. But I see some things and I recognize them because I've been there myself, or my kid was there or whatever. And again, you may hate me or whatever, but I feel like God's leading me to speak into your life and share a verse with you or share a CD with you. Or can I just pray for you? You know, pray in their lives. And let me tell you, if you're that guy on the other side of the table, you don't want nobody praying for you, because you know that you're going to be impacted and influenced by God. And in those moments, in those rebellious moments, and whether you're a teenager or whether you're, you know, 35 or 45 or 55 or 65, when you're being rebellious, you know you're being rebellious. You don't want anybody speaking to you. And so you avoid those moments. Is there somebody in your life that nagged you, because that's what they do. Your mom and your wife do that. Is there somebody that bugs you? You say, no, we need to get together. It's like every week they kept asking, can we get together? Can we get? And you finally said, okay. And then they spoke some truth into your life and you didn't like it. You didn't want to hear it, but it changed the direction of your life. Sure. How about you be that individual? And I know it's a little bit easier for me because I've got a whatever, you know, he's a preacher and he's supposed to say this or he's supposed to say that. So even better than that is when you, whoever you are, without a role or a title or anything else, you just like, you know, hey, if I've earned any credibility in your life, can I just say some things to you? Can I pray for you? Can I encourage you? Can I? And it might not be that they're even being bad. It's the only example that's coming to mind. But, you know that they need a boost. Then they need a hand up. And so instead of us being one that's up a rung or two looking back, oh, it sucks for you. You know, when you work hard enough, when you pray hard enough, you read enough scriptures or whatever, you might get up here one day. It's like, no. I mean, isn't somebody did for us? Somebody walked back across that bridge for us to help us across in our relationship with Jesus. How about we'd be the ones going to walk back across and help someone else across in their faith journey? And they might not surrender their lives to Jesus and fall down on their face and confess all their sins and, you know, become a nun or a monk or whatever else, but they may make a turnaround. And it might not be in that moment, but do not discount. You're speaking truth and you're being obedient to what God's leading you to do. Risk it, dare it, do it, and leave the results up to God and watch what He does. So, since you know that your friends determine the direction and quality of your life, you know that, right? It's what you've been telling your kids. Your friends determine the direction and quality of your life. They also determine, influence the depth of your relationship with God. Leverage that truth, that principle, for good. So for some of you, you need to decide that you're going to be more intentional about getting into environments where God can use a relationship, a providential relationship, to impact you spiritually, to take you up a couple notches, to increase your faith level in God. Others of you need to decide that you're going to be more available to be used by God. God, I know, and here's what it looks like, man. God, I know I got a crazy schedule. You all got crazy schedules. I got this, that, and other, and there's more things on my plate than I can possibly do in a day. And yet, you won't leave me alone about him or her. You know what I'm saying? I mean, God just keeps putting somebody on your heart. And you pray for them, because that's what you're supposed to do. And your heart goes out to them, and you feel and you hurt for them, and you're praying for them. I'm betting that God may, and you hear we say, well, I'm praying for them. I'm doing my part. Great, that's a start. But when you're praying, God sends somebody into their life, are you willing to be that somebody? I don't know about all that. You know, somebody that knows more and that prays more and knows them better and spend more time with them. Man, somebody risked it with you. The awkwardness, the awkward conversation, the awkward circumstance, the awkward timing. Somebody risked it with you. Will you be the one that risks it with someone else? I'm just encouraging you to do that, because God wants to grow all of our faith. And since we know he uses these relationships to do that, are we willing to partner with him in that? Are we willing to decide, I'm going to put myself in an environment? Man, for us, as like a teacher, Sunday school teacher, maybe God's been bugging you to, man, I just want to be a part of these kids' lives. And so all the kids that ain't, listen for a second, shh, listen. You hear that? That's all the kids that ain't in here right now. And why is that? Because there's some guys and some gals. And some young adults that have decided that they're going to invest into some young people's lives. Man, young people's lives, to the point where, like the other week, we celebrated a five-year-old coming to Jesus. A five-year-old surrendering his life to Jesus with whatever he's got. He's like, I'm giving that to you, God. I'm trusting you. All that happens partly due to individuals in this church that have pumped into kids. If your kid ain't in here right now and he's back in here right now, he's been influenced by somebody that's felt led to have a positive impact on them. So what is God leading you to do? That's for you to figure out. Let's pray together. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for today. I thank you for the truth that we are impacted by human relationships. God, I'm just going to pray right now that, well, we want to thank you. Those names that we thought of earlier, of those individuals that increased our faith. Lord, we just want to express our gratitude to you. So right now, between you and God, just tell them thank you for that person. Name them to God. God, we would not be who we are today. We would not be where we are today, specifically in our relationship with you, if it weren't for him, her, or them. So we are grateful. God, are there environments that we need to get in? We can't create them, but are there environments we need to get in where you can use providential relationships in our lives? Show us what those are. Move us and nudge us and almost make it happen. Give us the courage to say yes when we're given that positive invite. But God, also, are there people that you've been leading us beyond praying for to speak into their life? Now, is there a teaching opportunity or moment that you've been presenting us with that we've just been putting off and putting off and putting off, but we know that you want us to take advantage of? So God, whatever it is, I'm praying that you will give us the courage to say yes to you. I'm praying that you'll give us the courage to push beyond that awkwardness, just to go ahead and blurt it out and say, you know, hey, can we get together? Love to, you know, encourage you. I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to share my story with you. Whatever it is, Lord, give us the guts to be that man or that woman who does do and doesn't look back and say, I wish I had. Help us to be that man or that woman that somebody looks back and says, I wish that they had. Well, we don't want regrets. Help us to be your mouthpiece, your hands, your heart, your hug, your shoulder, your encouragement, whatever it is in somebody else's life. Lord, we're making ourselves available to be a providential relationship in somebody else's life. Use us as you see fit. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, real quick before we're gone, Tommy's going to keep playing just for a little bit. You'll be dismissed, but we're going to have a couple prayer counts.